I would like to commence by acknowledging the Gumbangia people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I pay respect to elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present. I'd also like to remind everyone present that this meeting's being webcast, so those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory statements. And if you have your mobile phone with you, I'll ask that you switch it to silent, please. And we don't have any apologies. I think everyone's on deck, yes? So I'd now like to invite Father Shelwyn to come forward and lead us in prayer. And Father Shelwyn is representing the Nambucca Valley Ministers Association. Hello, Father.
Madam Mayor, and good afternoon to everyone here present. Now let us pause for a while and acknowledge the presence of one another and that we're all in the presence of God as well. Blessed are you, Lord, God of mercy and love, who through your Son gave us a marvelous example of charity and a great commandment of love for one another. Send down your blessings on these, your servants, who so generously devote themselves to helping others. When they are called on in times of need, let them faithfully serve you in their neighbor, through Christ our Lord.
Thank you, Father Shelwyn. Disclosures of interest?
None, Madam Mayor.
None? Councillors, confirmation of the minutes from the ordinary meeting of the 28th of January. Moved, Councillor Wilson. Seconded, Councillor Reid. Are there any corrections to the minutes? None? Those in favour? Against? That's carried. We have a notice of motion, which is on page 13 of the business paper at item 5.1. Councillor Reid, are you formally moving that?
I am, Madam Mayor.
Do we have a seconder? Seconded Councillor Ainsworth. It's open for discussion. Did you want to speak to it first?
First and foremost, I thought that link for Nambucca Valley Landcare was important to go in there these days, because most people view these documents online. In regards to the page 3, I'm asking for further non-native species to be included for councils, towns, villages and street planning to build on those already specified. And my reason for doing this is because many of these species are already planted in our village areas. And lots of people, despite the difficulty in getting volunteers these days, there's still volunteers who do a lot of, gardening for us. And I think that it gives them a little bit of pleasure to be able to, put a little bit of colour around our towns. And that's the purpose of my motion.
Can I just ask a question? The little bit at the end there, as identified by council staff, is that intended to ensure that any volunteer gardening groups get the okay from council staff?
I more specifically meant there about the ground covers. That was in relation to the ground covers, because we never discussed this before when some of the ornamental trees were planted around Maxville, for instance. We never discussed anything about the ground covers, and some have been planted. And I think, the council staff have got a fair idea of what species they can be.
The reason I ask is I just wanted to be sure. The last thing you would want to do is upset or disappoint a volunteer, but I think we'd need to also be sure that volunteers don't just... I know that a lot of the plantings that have been done, and they've done a great job, but have come from cuttings and things that
they do their own. Yes.
That they do their own propagating, yeah. But with that comes the risk of people planting, volunteers planting something unsuitable. So
maybe we should clarify that a little more.
What about identified and approved by council staff? By council's green space coordinator might be more, because he has specific qualifications in horticulture.
Yeah. 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 The mayor, normally we would run this past that coordinator, so yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just wanting to make sure that volunteers in good, with all great intentions, don't plant something that we then, that is totally unsuitable. Then we upset everybody by including volunteers. Is there any other discussion? Councillor Jenvey.
For you, Madam Mayor, a question to the General Manager. How much planning went into the native tree planting guide? How much work went into that process?
Care one.
No, the guide. We have a policy. For planting natives?
Yeah, it's a long time ago, Madam Mayor. I can't recall.
All right, well, I'd just say, a lot of these plantings, they're in gardens. I do think Council's policy of planting natives has a lot of merit to it. I even think the main street of Nambucca is beginning to look green and the Tuckaroos are looking good. Places like Bellwood are looking fantastic with native plantings. I think these are great, great plants for home gardens, but I think Council should persist with its policy of natives, A, because of easy care, and B, because we have a lot of stress with native animals and they need as much help as they can get. So while I do think... The first point is really valid, and I take it that there are volunteers that want colour, but I won't be supporting the recommendation as it is, unless I think if you want to plant outside our tree policy, then you should apply for an exemption.
Can I just get some further clarification? The way I interpreted this, it says be included for all councils, towns, villages, and street plantings. I interpreted that as sort of in the towns that didn't extend to reserves and... Is that the case?
I think you'll see in the policy it virtually makes that clear.
Okay. So in other words, the natives would still be in our, our parks and reserves, that sort of thing, but
which
the
is
colourful...
A very recent... But there's two reasons why, I put in point one. It's important that we still have people, planting natives. But, natives aren't necessarily, the easiest to maintain. And this is certainly not any wholesale plantings or anything like that. It's just very minimal around the townships where people are doing, volunteer gardening too.
Right, thank you. Thanks for the clarification. Is there any other discussion? If not, I'm going to put it. Those in favour? Against? The motion's carried. Okay, we have a delegation, and this is to item 9.3. Ms. Phyllida Hartley is here to speak against the recommendation. So, councillors, if you go to page 29, item 9.3... And I'd like to invite Ms. Hartley to come forward and address council.
Madam Mayor and councillors and council staff, perhaps when you saw that public toilet facilities were once again on the agenda, you realised that I, somewhat worryingly concerned with such facilities, may want to talk again. And here I am. But this evening I want to talk not about saving toilets, but rather saving public monies and improving public amenities. Some of you are also aware that I have had ongoing concerns about the cultural precinct redevelopment, including making a submission on the in December last year prior to the final DA approval. I was aware then that the need for a 24-hour toilet plan was planned to be met by building a new facility at the eastern end of the library. But faced once again with reality, I decided I needed to come and talk and respond and say what I felt. Within the library small hall facility, there are already planned, I see it's been modified, 4 new pan toilets and 3 new urinals and a disabled toilet to replace the existing very dated facilities. That's obviously necessary. This would add another 2 pans. That's the one that is being proposed that I'm talking about tonight. Would add another 2 pans and another disabled facility. Don't forget that for events in the big hall, there are already their own restrooms as well. So this site has going to have, not including the big hall, 6 pans and 2 disabled toilets that the council is putting in and maintaining. Wow. Why? Why can't the other new toilets that are being built attached to the library and the small hall be used be created to have 24-hour access? As I look at it, I can come up with no apparent reason but that the courtyard is to be locked up outside library or small hall hours. This precinct is the heart of the Nambucca Township. It can become the place where people can meet, relax between shopping, rest. This space, to my mind, is the key to revitalising the town centre. And I know that was one of the aims of the whole library redevelopment. But instead, the creation of this amenity block in conjunction with the already approved library extension plans will make it absolutely certain that there will be no inclination to linger in our town centre. No inspiration, almost a death knell, I feel. Visitors outside ours will see a fortified space and will judge us so. So why not scrap this plan? I know this is part of the whole process that has been gone through, but keep the picnic table presently in this space with its cedar shade tree. Maybe seek to enhance this space in the future for people to come to. Now, I've made these, but you also have them, I saw, in the papers that you've received. So I'll pass one. And so I've just said keep the picnic table where it is and keep that nice space and create that as actually a positive feature in town. And I know the issues attached to all of this are quite a bit. I've lived around there. And therefore, if you don't get rid of that picnic table, if you don't put in these toilet block, you don't need to resolve the issues of building on this site, such as the steepness of the slope and its instability, as is evidenced by the cracking in the front wall of the library at this end. And under conditions to be met attached to this motion, which is 4.14, the Environment Planning and Assessment Act 1989, this is in the back, it is clearly stated concerning bushfire risk that the condition of development is that the ground level along the defendable space, which is at least 1 metre, and if possible more, must be level with the building. If you look at what I've just passed out, it's obviously not level with the building. So, in fact, this has already failed to meet one of the requirements. The need for public toilets in the vicinity can surely be achieved by simply making minor modifications to the courtyard and amenity spaces in the library. Okay? I would suggest moving the kitchen facilities to the back, and I noticed that this area has been changed around a few times already. I'd suggest moving the kitchen facilities to the back so there is an outlook, and bringing some toilet facilities into that front space to add to the after-hours facilities. So that kitchen is no longer actually there. It's turned into a stairwell, I discovered on the latest plans. Anyway, good lighting and design, CCTV, and a fence placed appropriately to protect the library glass, which I understand was a concern, would create a great community facility. I'm certain that Volks and Peters are up to this task. And these simple changes would also mean that concerns which have been raised about safety and security for events in the large hall could be readily and creatively addressed, and the cultural precinct need can indeed be revitalised. I can't see why that courtyard could not have the vehicular access that has been asked for so often. It would be a win for everyone. So why not? The business papers say there is no impact on current or future budgets from this proposal. There seems to be no cost estimate for this unnecessary flight of fancy, that's what I'm calling it. Certainly more than $250,000, I would assume. Isn't that relevant? $250,000 spent on something which is unnecessary, already covered within 100 metres. I respect that the changes that council have made in town, seeking to improve amenity in the centre, such as shade sales and tree plantings, like was just referred to, and traffic calming with benches at the other end of the retail zone. The council has certainly worked towards improving the amenity of the area. Okay? But I feel this removal of public space in town is essentially a tragedy for our collective future. In the public interest of these business papers, section 4.151E, I would argue that the development impacts on the social and economic environment, as well as being unable to meet its construction requirements. Okay, it's failed to meet the social needs. There is a social concern in the public interest because you're taking the one space people can really relax, meet their friends in town, and you're removing it. And you're removing it maybe in perpetuity. I haven't argued about that before because I can see that a fence can be moved and things can be changed over time much more easily than the building structures. But as soon as you build this toilet, you're taking out another space. So I have come, once again, to present my sincerest concerns. Apologies, almost. I would ask that you choose option 3 in regard to this motion. That motion being the development application public toilet. There isn't an option 3 listed, but my option 3 is to delay consideration of this DA until the removal of social spaces is considered, and also obviously this bushfire, lack of bushfire sort of planning. Okay? As such, I don't think it's appropriate at all for our town. Okay, thank you. I have to stay and answer questions.
Are there any questions? Councillors? None? Councillor Jones.
Through you, the General Manager, I'd like to clarify something that number that if you have a big function, say they had a musical affair and there was a big crowd, is there a number of toilets per person? And are these toilets somehow linked in? Would it allow for a bigger function? Would they be able to be included by organisers in the, of a convention or something as part of that number?
Madam Mayor, probably the best way to, I think, view it is that for the enlarged, refurbished DA for the library, which has been approved, there are Building Code of Australia, BCA, requirements for the number of amenities in that space. So this DA is really about replacing the existing, inverted commas, public toilets. So I suppose to get to the heart of Phillida's point, these public toilets have not been considered as part of, if you like, an integrated site. We've looked at the library upgrade, if you like, separately according to its floor space in the BCA, and this exercise is about effectively replacing the 24-hour accessible public toilets that are already there. I mean, to take Phillida's point further, it would be possible, as Phillida suggests, to have, if you like, an integrated approach to the site. But it goes to the crucial issue which you raised about, obviously, access to the courtyard area. And, I mean, there are, putting the other point of view as well, there's some obvious security issues in relation to that courtyard. We've had them in the past and I'm sure we'll have them in the future. And I talked to Coral Hutchinson about it this afternoon, actually. I mean, the users of the small hall, obviously the library space after hours, will obviously have to have a fob, some sort of fob access to get into that courtyard area.
To my mind, it actually makes it more dangerous to have that courtyard there for people after hours, because you have some plantings at the front. You then have the fence. And let's say you have people in the small hall at the back. They're going to have to open that gate at the side of the large hall, I presume, for access. And for their meeting, that gate will stay open, which means that whoever's passing can actually enter into that interior area, but it's outside the small hall itself, so that you don't know what's going on or what might be going on or occurring in that space.
Lida, this is question time. You've done... I actually extended your address. You almost got 10 minutes there.
I know
there.
That. No,
at this point, it's...
I thought you were asking...
the question was to the general manager.
Yes, sorry.
Yes,
sorry.
If councillors have a question specifically for you or asking for clarification, that's fine.
Experience the people always asking me, where's the toilet? Is it open? So we need a public toilet.
100%. 100% we need a public toilet. And we also need to make sure that the Fletcher Street toilets are maintained or kept so that there's ones which are equally accessible at both sides of the main town centre, I believe. Yeah, I totally believe it.
Councillor Reid, yours was the question for Ms Hartley.
Well, I was going to ask the exact question that Councillor Jones asked, but I do have an issue with this too, not so much from your perspective, but...
It's not a question.
We'll
go to that when we deal with the actual item. I would like to ask just for some clarification, so... The actual library precinct and the existing toilets within the library and the gates are all part of the development application that the consent has already been granted. Mm. So that's not something that is up for modification tonight. Is that correct?
Mm. Correct.
What is before us tonight is the development application, a separate application for the block of toilets.
Mm.
So some of the matters that you raised regarding vehicular access and so forth, that essentially that decision's already been made in the consent. The DA has been considered and the consent granted. I just wanted to get that clarified. Are there any other questions for Ms. Hartley? None? Thank you, Phillida. Thanks. All right, councillors, we'll deal with this item now.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that this matter be deferred.
I'll second that for discussion. I'd just like to know the reason.
Can we have the reason put into the deferral motion? The reason I ask for that is if it's upheld, members of the public will then know what the reason for the deferral was, not just that it was deferred.
My reason for asking that it be deferred is that I am concerned about this facility, in particular the design of the facility and the safety for people, particularly as it will be opened, I understand, 24 hours a day. Is that correct?
Yes. What I'm getting at, sorry, but in terms of, my apologies, but in terms of meeting practice, in order to defer it, you need to defer it for a particular, like, you can't just say with concerns.
I'm concerned about the design.
Okay, but what do you want done with? Are you deferring it and requesting alternate designs come back to council, or are you deferring it to a particular date? Sorry, you know, I think you understand what I'm getting at, that you need to give some instruction to the staff as to what needs to happen before it returns.
The facility particularly to provide for needs for our community. I don't believe that it meets that requirement.
I'm
only talking about the toilet. And if you like, I will tell you my concerns. My concerns are that there's two pan toilets and a disabled toilet. There's no urinal. It's the way it's designed. It would worry me that, number one, that of a night time, like, people could go in there and even you know, do all sorts of things in there. But I feel very strongly about having all unisex toilets in that area there. And my reason for that is there's a lot of, you know, elderly people that would want to use that facility, and there's also a lot of, you know, socially disadvantaged people. And I think that there needs to be both a male and a female facility, and then a unisex disabled toilet. But we've got to remember that a lot of our people in that area may not have a car to go and find, you know, a more suitable facility. And I'm sure I'm not the only one in this room that avoids public toilets that are unisex toilets. Okay.
Sorry, but we haven't got a motion on the floor. I'm trying to just get the clarification of the motion. So, essentially, are you asking that the matter be deferred and alternate plans...
Or whether there should be a separate...
Or come back with a report regarding the possibility of, or a report.
Madam Mayor, yep. There should be a report at this time. So I wouldn't like to put the staff to a great problem to redesign a toilet and bring it back to council. I think maybe a report on the issues that Councillor Reid's raised would be the appropriate thing at this point in time. Then council can make a consideration of that, whether it agrees or disagrees with it.
Well, can I put words in your mouth and say that the report should be regarding how the design meets the safety and privacy requirements of the community, I guess is... what you're actually targeting, that it's about privacy and it's about personal safety.
Yeah. Mayor, the design, as I understand it, is pretty well based on the same ones we've replaced at Bellwood, Gordon Park.
Where, all the more reason.
What we've done is actually put, for the very reason of safety, the wash basins that are now out in the open, and basically it's a very consistent design.
Well, that's probably something that needs to come back in the report. I haven't even got a second. Did you second it?
Yeah.
Right. I have a seconder. I just want to make sure, because I don't want to be sort of bulldozing Councillor Reid into a motion that's not what she intended. I'm just guessing, based on what she said, that that's what she wants a report on, the adequacy of this design to meet privacy and safety concerns. Is that?
I feel strongly that we should be providing that. That's probably not as big a tourist area as where the other areas that our Assistant General Manager spoke about. But I just think that where there's facilities provided for our residents, I believe that they should be of a standard and of a safety standard that will provide what we want to provide for them.
You're happy with the wording of that motion now, that it captures your concerns? Okay. Yeah. Is there any other discussion? Can I just double-check and ask, would a deferral till perhaps the next council meeting cause any problems or issues? Is there any reason why there's any great urgency regarding this DA?
Yes, Madam Mayor, through the General Manager. The issue is that the funds have to be spent by June 30 this year.
This year.
So it will be built before we start on the main library building.
Yes, June, so where are we now? February, March, April, May. So we've got 4 months to report, potentially redesign, go to tender and build.
There was funding.
No, I didn't realise that it had to be built by the 30th of June.
Can I ask, would it look a bit like the Shelley Beach?
Similar to the frontage and that, it's a different... as I understand it, the designs, the architects have designed it to blend in with what's going to be at the library, so it's a consistent approach. Possibly till slab, yes. Yep.
Well, I'm just asking the question from the staff. I mean, I'm not. I don't know how long it takes to build.
Maybe the report can come back for the next council meeting and dealt with then.
All right, Councillor Jenby. Sorry. Yeah.
Look, I don't see the safety concerns. They're public toilets. If you're elderly or if it's lonely at night, I mean, there's a choice to go to the pub, which may be better lit and maybe more people around or whatever. If you're at a function and it's night time, you would expect there would be people around. I think they're the same safety concerns we have, whether it's Gordon Park or Bellwood or uptown there. To me, they're just public toilets. So following a design, and I think the space is limited there. So, to me, it's more of an individual concern rather than a overall arching concern of councils, that you sort of assess the situation based on what it is at the time. Maybe I'm out of kilter with everyone else, but to me, they're public toilets. Of following similar processes of all the other toilets in the Shire.
Will it be possible to bring a report back to the meeting of the 28th?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, we can bring a report back. It may delay the actual process of getting, because we're going to have to put this in the tender. The other issue is if there's going to be a design change, Ms. Hutchinson organised the architects to actually do these designs, so that if we go on amending the plans, and I will just add that all the issues that have been raised about safety and all that were provided to the architect in the design. There was the original brief or design they came back with had maintenance issues, safety issues, and they went back and amended the plans accordingly, so that we can bring it to, we can bring a report back to the next meeting.
Can I just ask what sort of, I know we have already have unisex toilets, what sort of feedback have we had? Have we had sort of concerns raised about the lack of privacy or, you know, or you know, from older residents having issues with?
Madam Mayor, none that I can actually recall. Most of the ones we get are the vandalism or where the undesirables have actually damaged or vandalised the facilities.
All right.
You may recall that Ms Hutchinson also did the report some couple of months back on, because we're looking at the dementia, and I think so, I'll have to go back and look at that report, but I think she may have also included some of that those issues in that respect.
Right, if there's no other discussion, I'll put the motion. It's not an amendment, is it? No, it's a motion. Those in favour? Against?
Well, it's a planning matter, Madam Manager.
It's a deferral. We're not making a planning decision. We're not actually making a planning decision. We're deferring making a planning decision. I didn't think that was... Sorry, I'll do it again. Those in favour? No.
To defer it from...
Yeah, to defer it to the next meeting, yeah.
To the next meeting, aren't we?
Yeah. Against?
Right.
Okay, the motion's lost. So we're back to dealing with the item.
Well, Madam Mayor, then I'll move the recommendation to business later.
Moved, Councillor Ainsworth. Did you second that, Councillor Wilson?
Well, I'm just saying, what's he moving now?
He's moving the recommendation.
Recommendations in the business paper.
Yeah. Now we are dealing with the planning matter because the recommendation is to approve it. Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? If not, I'm going to put it. It's a planning matter. Those in favour, please stand. Thank you. Those against, please stand. Thank you. And did Councillor Reid, did you want to record your reason of concerns over safety and privacy?
My reason is that I don't believe that it meets the needs of our community and full stop, yeah. I want the toilet, but I just don't want... I just think our policy on toilets is disgraceful and it is a deterrent to everybody.
Thank you. Councillors, page 15, item 9.1.
The recommendation, Madam.
Moved, Councillor Ainsworth.
Second.
Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 24, item 9.2.
Move the recommendation, Madam.
Moved, Councillor Ainsworth.
Seconded.
Seconded, Councillor Reid. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
No surprise, I don't support this. I think there's, to speak against the recommendation, equally, I think there's two groups of sort of people. You know, there's academics and scientists, and they're not fringe elements of sort of a radical thing. There are people from most of the political parties in the New South Wales Parliament. Some of those parties have supported this proposal, including people like Catherine Cusack. Then there are activists and also people in our community that want a different thing to happen in our forest because of climate change, because of the biodiversity losses, because of what's happening with koalas and things like that. And it's not to say that the way traditionally we've been farming, fishing, forestry here, that there aren't jobs and people concerned about that. But to me it seems like forestry has a way of a sort of exploiting the way power works, and you can see it in some of these policies like our Reds or whatever, and that it favours what's going on in forestry. If the general manager had included an article from the next day on the Sydney Morning Herald, it would have said that Forestry Corps was suffering massive losses going forward. And, you know, it's a body that's been subsidised for a long time by the public purse, and this creates a lot of disquiet that this industry is supported when there's a lot of science to say what's going on in our forest is really quite detrimental. So I would sort of like to say that once this is about a Headwaters proposal, and perhaps council could have looked at it from the space of you know, these old growth forests, as much as they are above the ground underneath, they're giant sponges. It's quite important to keep them wet when you're dealing with fires like we have done. When they are, the integrity is destroyed, it doesn't come back. And even if you're just taking a bit of the integrity of those healthy forests to get this desperate need for these high quality logs because all else is gone, is really to be not considered what happens in our headwaters, how it gives us fresh water, how it makes rain come to the area, and you know, there's all these biological values that go on there that part of this proposal was about. And you know, I just think there's that, you know, koalas are the economy and biological services are the economy, and the environment plays a big part in the economy when you look at the cost of the bushfires and when you look at the sort of desertification we've got coming forward from heating planet and climate change impacts, that you know, a sort of council could have taken a space of helping raise consciousness about this, because they are issues that council should be on. You haven't chosen to do that, that's fine. I just won't be supporting the recommendation.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I'd just like to make a point around the jobs, and I think we're all aware of the importance of the jobs, and I find it sad in a way that the ability for farmers to have a viable timber industry on their farms has really been undermined by the actions of the Forestry Corp, who really are subsidising the owners of the logging industry. It's a shame in many ways, because I drive around a lot through the valley with work, and I hate it when I see large piles of trees that have been bulldozed together and burnt, because it's cheaper to burn than it is to put it on a truck and take it and be wood chipped. And I think that's just an indictment on the system. The system's really failing. There'd be a massive amount of job creation, I think, in the agricultural sector if we treated timber with a bit more value. I know that the trickle-down effect would cost the consumer a marginally greater amount, but I think the benefits for the whole community would be vast. And the point then further goes to, we can have both. We could have a vibrant national park, we could have a functioning ecosystem up there, we could have a vibrant tourist industry, we could have headwaters protected, and we could have jobs on private farms rather than this socialisation of the profits by Forestry Corp. So that's my point.
Is there any other discussion? Councillor Ainsworth.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, when you look at the numbers, there's only a tiny amount of forestry area now which is available for logging to start with. All the rest is out of bounds for them. Many years ago, for my sins, I was on the RFA, which is the Regional Forest Agreement Assessment Panels, and this happened 25, 30 years ago. And those panels consisted of the industry representatives. There was forestry, there was national parks, there was environmentalists, there was economists, and there's scientists. And all got together in a big huddle that went for about 2 years. And the idea of that was to actually look at the available timber that was available within our state forest system. We also looked at the environmental issues which were sort of impacting on it if that logging was to happen. And anyhow, after 2 years, we came to an assessment about what timber and what areas should be logged and what should be out of bounds. And the idea of that was that, A, it gave the timber industry, it was going to give the timber industry a security, because at that point in time, nobody knew what was going to be available to them or not available to them. So for investment in the industry, they needed security. And this RFA gave them that security. Madam Mayor, and that security was to last for well over 50 years. Now, that 50 years is not over yet. There's a lot of money which has been invested in the timber industry through this RFA process. Now, if you're going to go around now and you're going to cut out some of those timber stands which were included in that RFA process to be available to the logging industry, then you're going to have a significant impact on it. And the business paper itself quotes something like about 22,000 jobs come from this particular part of the forest. Now, I know that we often hear about the tourist industry, about how we're going to have these tourist industries based on natural resources on the Nambucca. Well, I think that's a very fragile argument. I can't see the Nambucca's natural environment supporting 22,000 jobs, which is what it's doing now. So, Madam Mayor, when I look at this, I've got a real problem with it, because some of the numbers that Dr. Cadman presented here to Council, 2 months ago, I don't know whether they've been peer-reviewed or whether they are just his assessment of the headwaters and the possibilities. Madam Mayor, look, I can't support this concept where we're going to close down this forestry issue and industry and hang our hats on having a nature reserve at the tops of the rivers in lieu of, as far as economic return's concerned. So, Madam Mayor, I really can't support that. But as far as the timber industry is at the moment, there's a huge pressure coming on, and I've had numerous phone calls from different bodies wanting to know if we've got any timber to sell. I'm going to say just about every landowner is now getting contact from these people looking for timber. So I can assure you that the timber will not only be coming out of the state forest, but it's going to be coming out of private forests if they've got any timber left. So, yeah, so that's my position on it, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. If there's no other discussion, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried. Page 34, item 9.4.
Move the recommendation.
Moved Councillor Reid. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour?
Yep.
Against? It's carried. Page 36, item 9.5.
Move the recommendation.
Moved Councillor Ainsworth. Seconded Councillor Reid. Any discussion? Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Page 38, item 9.7. Page 38, 9.7. This is it's clean energy.
9.6.
Has everyone found
this one?
Did I skip one?
Page 36.
I did. It's a little one. I just flicked too fast on the pages. 9.6, so that's page 37.
Move the recommendation.
Moved Councillor Reid.
Second that.
Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? It's carried. Page 38, item 9.7.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move item 1 and item 2 with the alteration, item 8 with the alteration of that we vote, the minutes, etc. And add another item, which will be item three. And that item is that council call for expressions of interest to fill the one vacancy on the Clean Energy Committee.
Do we have a seconder? Seconded Councillor Ainsworth. It's open for discussion. If there's no... lots of... I think Councillor Jenby was first.
Well, I can't support that the second dot point of Councillor Reid's. I think it is that I... Lorraine moves the screen up. Expressions the one vacancy because there's only just a quorum there. We've had Michael Blocky leave. And we've also got with the People Power Community Owned Renewable Energy Co-op, there are good synergies. In the past, councils like Bega and on the south coast there had strong connections between community groups running renewable energy projects and going for grants.
Councillor Jenby, my interpretation of that is that that group can still express an interest.
Well, they have this is just presented EOIs to the committee.
Yeah, but what about every other environmental organisation or person who might have an interest in clean energy? Council's general approach to these sort of things is to put it out and give equal opportunity in the community. That I think that's the proposal.
We have called for expressions of interest, and these are what came in. So,
when did that happen, and why didn't it come to council?
I'm pretty sure it did at the last minute.
That's the point. Was it advertised?
It's interesting, Madam Mayor. I'll speak in a minute. Sorry, I'll wait.
Just to note, the Clean Energy Committee—that's its title—but the remit of it is for climate change and adaptation and things like that. It's got a bit of a wider.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about that. I'm not quite sure what your point is. If it's advertised, any organisations that are interested, there might only be one. Like, I'm not being derogatory there.
This is the second or third time we've had expressions of interest on to the committee because of people leaving.
Well, again, I don't...
They have been endorsed. I don't think...
If it hasn't been to council, it hasn't been endorsed. And no, I don't but, think that it's
okay,
ever
so,
been
we've
that we
got
advertise.
Here. I don't think the public really needs to see Miss Sarah Carden's resume. She sent a full resume.
The recommendation is that council call for expressions of interest. It's not about the public. It's not about putting people's resumes out. It's just saying out in the community. Are there any groups or organisations who would like to belong to this committee? We might not get anybody other than those that you've already or have already been perhaps in touch with Ms Hall or the committee. But at least then we can say to anyone else who later on says what's happening or why, you know.
Perhaps we need to review the minutes of the previous meeting because I'm sure we, in the minutes of the previous meeting, we put forward that we are... fill the vacancy with expressions of interest. And then this is 3 months later. We have a response to it. I didn't put the expression of interest out there. I only chair the meeting now.
All right. Well, look, we've got a motion on the floor. we'll deal with that. It may not be supported.
Madam Mayor, it's an interesting point. And my mind goes, and maybe the General Manager may be able to answer me, or maybe the Assistant General Manager. I'm on a couple of other committees where I know with the Beach Access Committee, for instance, at the last meeting there were a lot of new members. And I'd been to the meeting before that, and it might have escaped me that we didn't ask for nominations or expressions of interest from the community, where the Beach Access Committee in particular, I think there'd be a lot of people who'd be interested in going on that. I speak to people who use the beach a lot, and the people who are on it I think are fantastic and doing a great job, but I know there'd be a lot of other people who'd be interested in going on that committee. And I think there'd be a lot of people interested in going on the Estuaries and Rivers Committee.
No argument with that. I was just getting clarification. The actual wording there was that we go to the community and seek expressions of interest.
I think that's a good idea, Madam Mayor, but I think we could maybe do this more broadly across all of these committees, because I think there would be a lot of people. In fact, I know of a number who would be red hot to go on the Beach Access Committee. Red hot.
May I just comment? We have advertised a number of times for... It's come through the minutes... And the process, because they're honorary rangers, we actually we just don't take volunteers. I actually physically interview them before they come on to ensure that they're there for the purpose of what the charter says. So, but that's a different, that's maybe much different to a lot of other committees.
How do we advertise them? Can I ask?
Are we discussing the beach access? I mean, our motion on the floor.
Maybe generally, just generally. Yeah. How do we? For these sort of committees.
I can talk to Beach Access because I'm directly involved. We actually wrote to the Chambers and Surf Life Saving, all the community groups. Down at Scott's Head, there's a pretty active group down there. We wrote to them as well. It was pretty of the papers being closed. I'd have to have a look, but it could have been 12 months ago, but now longer. We have had a few new members come through.
One of the issues we do have now with Anne trying to get the community aware of anything is the fact that we don't have a print media anymore. But we have a motion on the floor. The motion's quite clear. You know, if you don't agree with that, then you don't have to support it. Councillor Ainsworth, did you want to speak to the motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Look, I think if the motion's carried, it's going to sort out an awful lot of these issues about nominations, et cetera, because if you go back to square one, call for expressions of interest, comes to council, and then council goes through the usual process. I think it's the cleanest, quickest way of doing it.
Is there any other discussion on the motion? If not, I'm going to put it. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 40, item 10. We do have a late report. It's page 4 on your iPad supplementary agenda, and
we got a hard copy.
Sorry, and it's page 4 on the hard copy as well.
That's good. All right.
Extraordinary to vote against your own committee.
I'll move the recommendation.
Moved, Councillor Reid.
I find it.
Wind-up of the VRA. Yes. It was a late report.
All right,
seconded, Councillor Ainsworth. Yeah. Is there any discussion? Councillor Reid.
I think it's a sad day. That when a volunteer organisation has to fold, but I think that they've done a great job in the past, and maybe what has had an impact too is that their services weren't required. Fortunately, their services weren't required as much since we've had the highway open, but I think it's sad that I do appreciate the work that they had all done over the years.
I have spoken to some of the volunteers, and quite a number of them are looking at moving to other organisations, including Marine Res. Some of the work that they do or have been doing, and some of the tickets and qualifications that are required to be a member of the VRA, are also very beneficial for a new member of the Marine Rescue to have all of those certificates and whatever. Same with the Rural Fire Service. So
skills.
Yeah. There are a few that intended retiring anyway due to perhaps, well, they said due to age. You know, they think they're getting too old for it. That was the response. But my understanding is the rest are looking at moving to other organisations where the Valley will still have the benefit of that experience and those skills. Is there any other discussion on this item?
And I think it's important we do recognise the work they've done over the years. And again, it's a shame that we don't have a newspaper that we could have a photo op and we could have a few certificates and a bit of recognition. I mean, these are the sort of organisations that, you know, we all rely on. On a second note, and a few of us are pondering this, with the Nambucca VRA site, dare I ask the General Manager if it's an appropriate site for a men's shed?
Madam Mayor, potentially yes, and they may well have already expressed interest. Right. And I think, I don't think I'm talking out of school, but I think Marine Rescue may have expressed an interest in it as well. And Mr. Holmes, I think, quite properly put it to me that we should have a proper process in terms of advertising for expressions of interest, so we obviously don't go through the talking to a couple of groups and then find out there were half a dozen others that didn't know about it. So I certainly agreed with him on that.
Well, the recommendation there is, you know, that it be advertised, there be expressions of interest, and that would be part of the process in assessing those would be, of those expressing an interest in the site, which group best matched the site, I guess, or the need, you know, how did the site meet the needs of the group and how did the group meet
is there an opportunity for the VRA executive to be part of that process, the outgoing members? I mean, they may have a...
Well, that's who it is. Have you read the?
I've read it. I'm just making sure that we.
Sorry. Well, the VRA executive are Mr. Holmes, Mr. Ryan, and Mr. Jeffrey. Well, they're going to be on a committee comprising three VRA executive and three council representatives determine the preferred expression of interest. So, the three key people who have probably been the most active and involved in the. Is that what you meant? Or?
That's what I meant. Thank you, Madam. No, I read it. I just wanted to make sure that we're...
Well, that's what we're... If this is supported, that's what we'll actually be resolving, so they have to be.
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam.
Okay. Right, is there any other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. We go to... Where are we? Page 40, item 10.1. Moved Councillor Wilson.
Seconded
Councillor Reid. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. I'm going to move an additional motion on this item, and that is that Council receive quarterly reports detailing plant purchases and sales, maintenance cost, plant hire income and plant reserve balances. If I can get a seconder, I'll explain why. Seconded Councillor Ainsworth. The reason for that is I generally think that the nitty-gritty of plant choice and what's needed and why it's needed and whether we need a big excavator or a little excavator is more operational in the area of an area of staff expertise. But a quarterly report would probably come in line with our budget reviews, and it would help us to avoid situations like we've had in the past where money has been budgeted and we get to toward the very end of the year and the item hasn't been ordered and then we have a revote and money has been sitting in the budget unspent, or there was the opportunity to bring another desired plant item back that could have been purchased. And the other thing is that based on... Councillor Jenby...
Point of procedure.
Is it point of order you're calling?
Yes.
Well, that's what you need to call if you're going to interrupt someone speaking to a motion.
Did we vote on 10.1? And then this is...
This is 10.1.
Oh, I thought we voted on it.
You voted on the recommendation that's there, yes.
And then, so you're... We voted and then you're adding...
Moving an additional motion, yes.
Oh, she did additional motion, rightio.
Explain.
Thought...
You can move an additional motion. I didn't want to amend. I'm happy to support not reinstating the plant committee. But under meeting procedures, you can move an additional motion if the item's on the agenda. Okay.
I find that.
Right, so, and based on this report, we're going to actually have someone in finance that's going to be dealing with an accountancy background, so my guess is that the information that I'm asking to be reported to council is information that would be part of the normal reporting system. I'm getting nods from the staff. So essentially all it will do is help us make sure in terms of our budget responsibilities and when we look at budget reviews, and it would probably act as a timely reminder if there's items that haven't, you know, that the specs haven't been done or tenders called or things ordered. So it's just... I suspect it's not a huge amount of additional paperwork.
Can we just have a...
That council receive quarterly reports.
Yep.
It's basically what's said in the... quarterly reports detailing plant purchases and sales, maintenance costs, plant hire income, plant reserve balances. In other words, it's a budgeting and financing side, which is our responsibility. It's not the...
Costs after maintenance was missed out.
It's costs, yeah. I lifted those things directly from the report because the staff have already suggested 6 monthly. I'm asking for it quarterly so that it coincides, and I think probably, you know, if there is an issue or something that needs to be swapped around, changed or deferred, the quicker we know about it and can organise it, the better. And from what I'm gathering, all of that work's going to be done in the background. It just means putting it to council, possibly even as part of the budget review. I mean, that's up to staff. So if there's no discussion, I'll put it. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 42, item 10.2.
Recommendation.
Moved Councillor Reid. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 43, item 10.3. Moved Councillor Ainsworth.
Seconded.
Seconded Councillor Reid. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. There's no late report there. Page 45, item 11.1. Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Ainsworth. Councillors, it was listed on the paper agenda as questions with notice at 7.1, but the questions with note... I called them questions with notice because they are questions, and because they're complex, obviously they need notice needs to be given. But as it sort of says on the top, that these are questions with notice in relation to this item, and I wasn't anticipating or expecting staff to respond to them tonight. I'll move that the questions with notice be put to the internal auditor so that he may provide the answers as part of his investigation.
So is it? Madam Mayor, is that an amendment? Or?
Is it contrary?
Well, it's not contrary, but...
All right.
You've got a motion on the floor.
Well, Councillor Wilson and Councillor Ainsworth... Yes, there is a motion on the floor. That's what I was forgetting. Councillor Wilson and Councillor Ainsworth, are you happy to have a second dot point? And that is that the questions with notice... put to the internal auditor so that he may provide the answers as part of his... what's the name of the investigation he's going to do anyway? Part of his investigation of council's asset management procedures. Because that's going to happen anyway, so the best place to deal with it, I think, is there.
Right.
Mover and seconder are happy with that. Is there any discussion? Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? It's carried. We don't have any other late reports, do we? Well, in that case, I'll thank everyone for their patience, courtesy and attendance and declare the meeting closed.
Okay.